Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. I just remember one night for dinner, we made crepes and we had wine and listened to music. And it was just sitting there making my own crepe and having French wine from some town that was maybe an hour train ride or a train ride away. And I just paused for a second, sat there. I'm like, I am in France drinking French wine, making my own crepe with a French family. When you have those experiences, it's like kind of cliche, but I think it's really priceless to have.
Welcome to Jump Podcast, formerly known as the Budget Minded Traveler. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and get out and see the world. Let this show be a source of travel advice and inspiration, but remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. Hey guys, welcome back to Jump Podcast. This is episode 110, and we're continuing with our series about learning foreign languages. And our guest today is yet another person that I've met on my travels. His name is Matthew. And I met him during my study abroad in France that I did last year. So let's go ahead and say hi to him. What's up, Matthew? How's it going?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for being here. I think it's really cool that it's been nearly a year since we were both in France. What?
I said coming up on a year. Yeah, almost there.
Yeah, it was like March. No, it was actually right about now that I got to France. So I think I had just started and you were about to show up. And I think this is going to be cool because you and I haven't really caught up all that much since then. And so I think this is going to be a fun chance to sort of revisit our experience there and recap a little bit. And so, yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to be a guest on my podcast.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
And weren't you listened to the podcast before, isn't that correct?
Yeah, so I was, I kind of got the travel bug. You know, I went into, graduated from college, then went to law school and just kind of kept my head down, just working. And then I started to really want to travel more and then stumbled upon a couple of podcasts, got to yours. And then we actually met up in Boulder, if you remember that one.
Yes. Song. Oh my gosh. I totally forgot about that. France was not, I mean, I didn't forget about that, but
it's okay.
Yeah. France was not the first time that we met.
No.
That's right. You came to Boulder and, you forgot to pay your tab at the brewery. I remember that. Do you remember that?
I do.
You totally dined and dashed.
I was like, I usually don't do that, but I guess it's a quick exit. And you like texted me and you're like, hey, you forgot to pay your tab. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh no, that's funny. That memory just came to me. No, that's right. Yeah. I was there recording an episode with Chris from Pubcast Worldwide. And you came with a buddy and that's right. That's where we met. And then who knew that we were going to be in France, like, what, 6 months later? I didn't know. You didn't know.
It's funny how life works out. I'll say that.
I know. That's really cool. So, yeah, we are here today to talk about that experience in France, which I think the reason I really want to talk about this specifically, and I think it's so great that you're here to talk about with me, is because so many people think that, you know, like once you're out of college or high school, that your opportunity to study abroad is gone. It's like in the past, in the rear view. And that is just not the case, as you know.
Right. For sure.
And this was the, what, second? I think the second time that I've done a program like this where it's just a language school. And so The first time I did this was in 2008. I went to Brazil to study Portuguese, and I found that school by just Googling, you know, Portuguese language schools in Brazil, and started having to research like the cities and different places that popped up. And I did the exact same thing for France. Learning French has been on my bucket It sort of still is. Like I guess I'm still learning whatever, but it was on my bucket list for so long. And I found myself last year with some time, and so I decided to just kind of do it. And that is also where you kind of came into the scene, because I put that out there to everybody. Because I remember in Brazil that it's kind of a lonely thing to do when you don't know anyone, you don't know the language, and you're going to a small town. So here's the difference. Like if we were to go to Paris, for example, and learn French there, I feel like that would have been a completely different experience than the one that we had, because there are probably more people in the school. There's definitely just more people around, like more going on. And the thing is, I don't really love big cities, and so I didn't want to do that. And so as I decided to do this school thing in France, I think I sent out a newsletter, or I did something. I shared on Facebook. I'm not sure what I did. Something to say, hey, does anybody want to go learn French with me? And
I think it was Instagram. I saw you on Instagram. Okay. And I was like, I think I saw some posts. I was like, that looks pretty cool. All right.
I know. So how was it that you decided to go? Because that's like, it was so last minute. I think I was already in France by the time I got an email from you.
Yeah.
And you were like, dude, I'm coming. And I was like, dude, awesome. Like, I will see you on Tuesday or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So it's kind of there's a lot of moving parts to it. But to make a long story short, I saw you post that. And I was like, you know, I studied French in high school. And it's like that traditional, the way you learn a language. I was like, you know, I kind of forgot about it. A lot of stuff that I learned. And I said, oh, you know what? I love languages and I'd love to be fluent in one. And this looks like a great opportunity. So maybe one day, like, I'll do that. Maybe I'll go to this French school. And then I don't know what it was, maybe like a couple weeks later or something. Just a sequence of events happened that just made everything right. I was in a relationship. And I was working full time and all that. But then all of a sudden I found myself out of a relationship. I found myself, you know, the way I was pretty unhappy with my job. It was just, I was there for a while and I found myself not working at that job anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just said to myself, you know what? Now is the time. Like, this is, everything is lining up for you to go ahead and just go. And then I'm going to be honest, I was terrified,
but that's okay. Yeah,
just said, you know what, just go for it and you'll deal with whatever other feelings later, just commit. And that's what I did.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you for that. I think, like, how cool is that, that you were able to recognize and set aside your fears and say, you know what, I'm going to do this, because bottom line is you're going to survive. You know that, you know, yeah. Worst case scenario, you learn a few words in French and then you go home, you know, but I love that you decided to sort of make the most of your roller coaster that was your life at the time. And
yeah, but the funny thing is, sorry to cut you off, but the funny thing is that what turned into me just saying, okay, I'm going to go to France and study some French. You know, I know Jackie, you know, we hung out in, you know, Boulder area. That was fun. So let me just go do that. Maybe I'll go for like a week or so. Mm-hmm. Well, that one decision turned into a month-long trip, me traveling through Europe. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear more about that. Because I was there, I signed up to study for a month, for 4 weeks. And these kind of programs you do by the week. And so basically, if, like, for everybody out there listening, if you don't have any proficiency at all in a language, that's okay. You just start in the beginning level. And then depending really on how the school works, they have like different levels that you can sort of test into, or you can just start with. And I, when I was there, so I was there a week ahead of you. I had already had a week of school before you came. And I was the only one in my class because there were only like three students at the school at that time. And the other two girls were way more advanced than where I was. And so I had had like no French. That's not entirely true. I took a semester of French in college and I did some Rosetta Stone. But I mean, I'd never lived in France. My fluency in Spanish and Italian definitely helps, but like I didn't speak French. I can understand a lot of it. So I was kind of like a fast beginner, I suppose you could say. Like beginner, intermediate. And so what'd you say?
I said to say the least, you were really good.
Thank you. No, but it worked out because I had had a week then to sort of, I don't know, get myself settled. And by the time you got there, we were like at the same level. Well, I think we were, I don't know. I feel like it worked totally fine to put us in the same class. And that was so, I can't even tell you, Matthew, like how fun it was for me to have a buddy because I have experienced that before. Like just the school thing where you're kind of alone and like, it's kind of sad. Like it's a hard thing. Like your brain is so freaking fried at the end of every class that it's like, then you have to also live in that country, order lunch in that country, live at someone's house in that, like all in these, it's language that you like, don't really speak. It's exhausting. And having a friend is like, seriously, it changes everything. And so I was so grateful. Well, I have to say too, I'm grateful that you're cool.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I think it was so fun to have you in class and like to get to go through that journey at least for 2 weeks together. I was there for 4 weeks, like I said, and we did two entire weeks together. It was only 2 weeks that you were there, right?
Only 2 weeks. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about those 2 weeks.
Yeah. Where to start?
I know. Okay, I'm going to take a quick moment before we get too far into France today to thank our supporting partners for this episode. Big shout out to Tossable Digits, which has been a major problem solver for long-term travelers and people moving overseas who aren't quite sure what to do with their cell phone numbers. Tossable Digits makes it easy to keep your number while you travel by converting it to a virtual number, which means that you can easily cancel your expensive phone plan at home, but you keep your beloved cell phone number, and then you can get a local number wherever you are and have any calls and texts forwarded to that number. You pay as you go, so you don't have to pay for anything you don't use. And they're offering a special deal for Jump listeners, just $1 for your first month. So if you want to go check that out, you can go to tossabledigits.com/jump. And that link is also on the show notes page. Let's also thank Pimsleur as we're talking about learning languages. You guys, I get that a lot of you can't just up and go abroad to study a language right now, like Matthew and I both did, which you're hearing about in this episode. However, that doesn't mean that you can't start or continue on your language learning journey right where you are. Pimsleur offers audio courses through an app that you can take with you anywhere. I've actually started the German course, and what I love about it the most is how much it helps with pronunciation. You guys know that I'm a stickler for accents. And so far, I'm having a great experience with the Pimsleur app. And it's been super convenient for me to listen while I'm on a plane or in my car, at my house, or even on a run. You really can do it from anywhere. And the app also has flashcards and quizzes built into it that you can do to refresh your memory and see the words and phrases that you're learning. So it's not just audio, which I definitely appreciate. You can try Pimsleur right now for free by going to myjumpoffer.com. You get a 7-day free trial to test out the app for yourself. And then it's just $14.95 a month after that. So that's an incredible deal for what you get. So that's myjumpoffer.com. And that link is also on the show notes page. Thanks for listening and helping me support these brands who are helping make this show possible. Let's definitely show them some love. And in the meantime, let's get back to France. Let's talk about how quickly you jumped on board with it, because this is also a really cool thing. You sort of mentioned, and we had already, you know, kind of touched on the fact that like you did this pretty quickly, but this is a really good point to make because a lot of times, like after that experience, I got the question a lot, how far in advance do I have to book this? Like how far in advance, like how do they need to know? And I would say, unless the school you're going to is like, unless it's like peak season, it's probably, they're probably going to have space for you as one person. You know, like if you have a couple or like a group of friends, maybe that's something you want to book a little further in advance because you have a higher number. But one person, they should be able to fit you in, you know? And so it's not usually about how far in advance. It's just like, you get to pick the date, the Monday of your start date. Like at all these schools, they sort of just start on any Monday. And you can sort of just fit it into your own calendar. And so that worked out really well for you because you pulled the trigger so quickly on it. How easy was it for you to sign up like so fast?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you helped out a lot. You told me, you know, basically who to contact, who was the contact of the school. And I think maybe it was in a week time. I don't really remember, but a week where I reached out to the director of the school. And I think the biggest hang up was just finding a place for me to stay, finding a family for me to live with. And once they set that up, it was just basically, when are you coming in? And I told them and they said, okay, you're good to go. And it was very easy.
And we made the payments after we arrived. So we didn't, and that was the same for my Brazil program too. And I'm not saying that's going to be the same for every single school, but we did not pay anything before we arrived at the school. And correct. That was your experience too, right?
Same. Yep. Same.
Yeah. And the options, we had options as well for lodging, for accommodations. And you and I, we both opted to do the homestay, which that's going to vary by school for sure. But these schools have like families or hosts, whether they're a family or not, that they usually have worked with for years, and that's where they send students. And you live with someone local. Our experiences on that were so incredibly different.
I was literally just thinking that. Yeah, I was like, we had some different experiences. Yeah.
Which we can, we can talk about that. But the cool thing is that we did have choices. So you can opt to like find an apartment and live on your own if you want to. Or you can do a homestay. Some schools offer like university housing, which if they're affiliated with some sort of university or somewhere where like lots of students can live together. I've seen that as an option. I've never done that. I lived with a host both times. So let's talk real quick about, the advantages of choosing a host, like a host family, like a homestay. I think that
a lot of
advantages. I think the biggest thing and the reason that I am such a huge proponent really of the homestay is that you learn a type of language in your house that you don't learn on the street. And that's like, you know, how did you sleep or what? It's like the little things, like you go shopping together and you, or you go out together, you learn the history of the place. Like you're hearing different things from the people that you live with and different phrases. And that's the sort of thing that you really, you don't get that in the classroom, and you don't get that with like a formal interaction at a restaurant. You know, it's like, this is the informal part of like inside the walls of your home.
Yeah, and they let the guard down, that, you know, that it's, they're in their home, they're comfortable. They'll correct you, show you different things. And I think if you, for me, I love travel, and obviously you love travel too. And so beyond just learning the language, it's also, you get that cultural immersion that you wouldn't really get if you're on your own, I think.
Absolutely. There was, I'm going to share one thing. I this is so funny. I won't forget this. I had gone shopping with Zoe, my host, and I got these groceries, and I get home and I'm cutting into a baguette, a cold baguette. Matthew, remember the hot baguette story? Oh my gosh.
That's right. Oh my gosh. Anyway, we like showered every boulangerie and anglette on a hot baguette. And they literally looked at us like, what are you talking about?
I'm pretty sure we got yelled at least once. That was like traumatizing.
That's accurate.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm cutting into this baguette and I cut a slice, like a slice of bread that like half of it's missing. There's just a giant hole. You know, that's how you know that it's actually really good bread is because it has holes in it. It's like not uniform. It doesn't all look the same, but I will never forget this. Zoe looks up with this cheery voice and bright eyes and says it in French. She says, "Oh, don't worry. You don't pay for the holes." And I'm like, what? Because they price the bread by weight in France. And so I just find it so funny that that's what she decided to say. Not like, oh, look at the size of that hole. Like half of your piece of bread is missing. She's like, yeah. Oh, don't worry. You don't pay for the holes. I'm like, yeah, but I want to eat the bread. Like, I don't want to pay for air. Like, it was so funny.
Like,
but
that's France. She's like, that's it. That's life here, right? Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what I mean. Like that sort of thing, you know, that you're not going to get that on the street. Like that's just those sort of conversations that just happen like in the kitchen, you know, and the cultural piece. Absolutely. But I will say, I am also a huge proponent of living by myself on my own. And as adults, this is the hard part about this. As adults, we're kind of set in our ways. We know what we like to eat for breakfast. And sometimes in some countries, people don't eat that for breakfast. And when you're living in someone else's house, you know, that can be like a point of contention. It's like, well, do you respect the culture of the country? Do you just kind of stick with what you know and what you like? How do you find the balance there? And so I think there are definitely, and I did struggle with that when I was in France, like just things that were like, wow, I am so used to being on my own. And here I am like in someone else's house. And it's a little bit weird because I find myself living like, you know, under the rules of someone else's house. And it's like, okay, you can do anything for, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, whatever, but you gotta know what you're signing up for. And so the only caution I would say to people about the choosing your accommodations is when you're signing up for a homestay, just know that that's what you're signing up for. You know, like commit to it. If that's what you want to do, like take everything as a learning experience. And, you know, you can always leave if it gets bad, of course, like anybody can. And you might have an amazing experience. And you'll for sure have a learning experience, you know, whichever way that it goes. But just be aware that like you are going to be living in someone else's house. And as adults, that can be difficult.
Interesting that you say that because I actually had like an identical experience where, all right, for breakfast, I like big breakfast. I like eggs and like all this, you know, typical, I don't know. I have a big appetite. But when I got to my homestay, she had got a cereal, cornflakes, and she said, like, I got you cornflakes. I was like, I didn't tell her this, but I don't really like cornflakes. But she told me, she goes, yeah, I got you cornflakes because all people from America like cornflakes. Oof. Like, that's sweet. Oof. And I'm like, okay, sure. So it was... like you said, the breakfast options or the food options, like it's there, you don't, and you kind of walk that line of, do you want to raise, you know, say what you want to say about it, or you just be respectful and just eat it and go off and do your own thing. So yeah, it's definitely a good point to bring up.
Mm-hmm. Especially in a place like France, where the culture is so strong.
Very.
I would say in Italy too, but Italy, the culture is also very strong, but I don't feel like the people are quite this, I mean, are quite as maybe, I guess, strict, as French people can be about like their, especially their cuisine and just, I guess, the rules of their culture. It's kind of funny, but, so yeah, I would say for sure, keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I wouldn't do a homestay again. But I'm definitely at a point in my life where I'm going to question like and look into it before I just sign up for a homestay again, because I do like doing my thing, you know, and
maybe you can have the best of both worlds, like, you know, do half the time at a homestay, mm-hmm. half the time on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm not done doing this. I was just telling Matthew before we started recording that I'm thinking about doing German next. In Germany.
Just add another language there.
I know. I love it. I'm addicted. It's just what I do.
It's pretty fun.
It is. You know what though? So on the whole language thing, I mean, I really learned so much. It's cool because I used to speak, I mean, quote unquote, speak French with a Spanish accent, you know, like Spanish comes through with all my languages somehow. And, I didn't ever think that I had a good French accent. I wasn't sure I was ever going to be able to even do it, you know? And you know what's so cool? I totally, totally picked up that French accent. I mean, I can still speak some French. I don't know if you ever practice. I tried
to keep up with
it. It's so hard to practice in this country. Yeah, I mean, well, okay, I'll speak for myself. In Montana, it's pretty hard. Although I have a friend who's from France here, and her mom just came to visit, and she does speak English, but she knows that I like studied French and can understand French. So she would just speak French to me, and I would speak some French back to her. And it is so cool to listen to myself speaking French because that 1 month, I tell you, that 1 month completely changed my French accent. Like not only did I learn a ton. I mean, I learned a lot in those 4 weeks of classes, but
What was her name?
Oh my gosh.
Remember? She was tough.
She's so cute. What was her name?
She's so nice.
Julie.
There we go.
Yep.
Yeah, she was great.
Julie, and she was from Paris.
Yes.
Which is actually, I think, pretty cool because since she was my teacher for 3 of the 4 weeks, and she was your teacher for both of those 2 weeks, and I am sure that because of her accent is something, you know, has something to do with how I picked it up. And you know what, I mean, in the French world it's super intimidating because there are so many different accents, but I would say if you sound like you know, like if you sound French or at least like maybe a little bit from Paris, I think they're going to be more lenient with you. I say that's not true. That's really not true. I think it depends where you go. Everybody's kind of, the French are funny, really.
No, I think it's just persistence because no matter, at least my experience, because I went to Paris after the 2 weeks in Anglet with you. Mm-hmm. You just have to be persistent because they're going to pick up an accent. They're going to pick up that, you know, you're kind of speaking a little broken French, and oftentimes they'll appreciate that you're trying and they'll just respond back to you in English. But if you really want that practice, you have to be persistent and just keep responding to them in French. And as painful as it may be, and as tempted as you may be, just say, you know what, I'm done. Let me just speak English. You just have to just keep mm-hmm. going for it. And that's how you learn.
That is very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Even here, I mean, in the United States, like you have to be diligent if you want to practice because it's so easy to let it go, and you've got to be persistent with it if you want to hold on to it. How do you think you're doing now? Could you speak to me in French now?
I could definitely speak to you in French, but if anybody who is fluent is listening, they're going to be like, this kid doesn't know what he's talking about. Just saying random things.
just saying random words. Turn left on this street and then go straight. these are the things we learned in class.
We're talking about food. I'm giving you directions to the Louvre or something. I don't know.
Oh, man. I don't even know how to try speaking in French right now. We could try it.
Comment allez-vous? Ici en Floride. Oh man, that's not ridiculous.
What did you say?
I'm here in Florida.
oh, Floride. Okay. Yeah. See, that's a new one for me. Where were we? Anglet.
So it's not easy, and with any foreign language, it's just practice and you got to keep at it. And it's tough, but I think it's very rewarding once you, I remember that one time when I forgot where we were. I think we were getting lunch and it was one of your roommates. He met us. We were at that, was it a sandwich place or something? Remember?
Yes.
Near the ocean. Yep. And he was there. We just like ran into him. It was after class. And we had a full conversation, mainly you, but I was understanding, but we had like a full conversation with him in French. Mm-hmm. And I remember you looked to me afterwards and you're like, I just spoke to him in French like the entire time. And I was like, yeah, like that was awesome. That's great. So you get to have those moments like, and those are the moments when you're like, the hard work pays off.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's like, you don't realize how much you're learning and absorbing. Mm-hmm. Until it kind of takes over. And I think I'm definitely not as good in French as I am in Spanish or Italian, like a language I could just switch over to right now and start talking to you and feel pretty confident. But if like when, for example, and I talked about this on the podcast a little while ago when I was on a bike trip in Switzerland, we started in the French speaking part. And we were on the trail and we had stopped and this guy rode by and he stopped and I think he was like worried that we were lost, probably because we were looking at a map and we probably were lost. But anyway, he started speaking to us in, you know, perfect Swiss French. And and I just jumped right in and I responded to him and I was like, yeah, we're going to this place. Like, I think I see it here on the map, like we're okay, whatever. I don't remember what I said. It wasn't a whole lot, but it totally came back to me just like that because he spoke to me first and it's like, okay, I can do this. And I just like rattled off some things. And my friend Carly was like, eyes wide, like, whoa, what did you just do?
Right. And you're like, I don't even know what I just did. I did something.
But you know what? Here's the thing. The reason that works is because we immersed ourselves. That does not happen when you're doing when you just take class at a university or something like that. You know, like absolutely if you not. Don't live in it, you won't recall it like I can. Like, I think it's this recall thing. It's like, I've been in this place before. I can do this. Like, I know this, like somewhere back in that brain of mine, like these words exist and I can.
Well, for example, I'm going to say, was it three words to you? And immediately you're going to know what I'm talking about. And you know what I'm talking about because we studied in France. And you don't get this if you're just studying anywhere else. Blanquette de veau.
Right? Yes. We. Yep.
And so it's, you know, you get to learn about it, which for blanquette de veau is a dish, I think, with veal, right?
Yeah.
And you don't, when you get to study that in class and literally walk to a restaurant on the beach and see that as today's special blanquette de veau. And we're like, sure, why not? I mean, we literally just learned about it.
I'm so glad you brought that up because that's the absolute perfect example for this podcast because literally that morning we had gone over, we were learning how to order food in a restaurant. We were learning all the things. What's the special today? I'll have that. Can I have this? Like, what's this? Asking these questions and reading a menu. And we get out of class at lunchtime. We walk down to a restaurant and we were cracking up because it was like our lesson come to life because literally the special was the special in the book. It was just like so funny and so real. We're like, you pinch me. Like, is this really happening right now? And it was delicious, right?
Oh, it was delicious. We had it twice. We had it another, I think we had it the next day too.
Probably.
We're on like a blanquette de veau kick. Like,
love it. Yeah. I remember that guy, that waiter was really, really nice to us too. And he did not speak English to us, even though I think maybe he knew some, he totally went with it. Like he allowed us to speak French and he spoke French back to us. And I thought that was really encouraging. Like I was really grateful to him for that. He seemed like super interested in why we were there, what we were doing. And I think he definitely spoke English. I don't know if he maybe said something at the beginning and then was like, wait a second, you guys are speaking French. Okay, you know, like, let's do this. And
just went with it. Yeah. served us our Blanc et de Veau. And also the view wasn't bad either. It was overlooking the ocean. So, no, not too bad.
So cool. So let me ask you this. What were the biggest challenges for you? Because we've been talking about like how good an experience like this is. But what are the biggest challenges?
So I think it's a lot of, I encountered a lot of people that spoke English. So, I think the one challenge is to resist the urge to switch to English and to really, because it's not easy to speak a foreign language. It's not easy to, you know, be put on the spot and have to talk. And so sometimes a lot of people just want to help you. They'll want to talk to you in English, and you need to resist that urge and then that temptation to switch to something that's comfortable and switch to something that's easy. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a really big challenge for me. I think that's the biggest challenge is to resist that urge to switch back to comfortable.
And on that note, we have to be transparent about this. We did speak English with each other.
Yes.
While we were there. But I mean, come on.
I mean, with us, but with the, I mean, with my hosts, they, I think they were a little bit more lenient than Zoe. She did not allow English in the house. I was with somebody who tolerated English. And so I constantly found myself trying to say, no, like, you're here to speak French, actually speak French. So that was a big challenge for me.
That is a challenge. Did you ever feel any kind of click? Like, did it ever get easier for you? Cause it was such a short time. You were only there for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't think it ever clicked. It didn't really get easier. It's just a constant grind, but which is what I knew I was there for. So I welcomed it.
Right.
And then I went on to Paris after that and practiced it more. So, at some times by the way, Uber drivers in Paris, if you ever want to practice French, go speak to some Uber drivers in Paris. Like, they will speak to you the whole time in French. So that's awesome. But it's just keep practicing and just keep going at it. I think that's what I found.
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge for me on for this one was probably the homestay. It was a good experience overall. I will say that. It was challenging though, because I am in a place where I'm like, damn, I kind of need my space and I just want to do things my way. And, I guess I wasn't into being turned into a French person. I just wanted to learn the language. You know, I'm like, I don't have to eat your pudding after every single meal. Like, I don't know how you guys do it, seriously. But you know, just like little.
You had pudding after every meal. I had pudding after every meal.
Oh man. That's just the French way. Like, that's what they do. Yeah. Everybody has their little individual serving of super decadent, rich dessert after every meal. And I mean, I'm not even a dessert person. And so that's one example. The eggs were another example. The eating cheese and the wine at the same time and the bread at the same time. That's another example. You know, like little things that I'm like, I don't want to be micromanaged. Like, I need my space. So I think that the biggest challenge for me was just the homestay this time. And possibly the...
I remember us talking about that while we were there. Like, we were just like, because you were, I remember us talking that you were in this house and there was more people and I think it was structured and rules. And like you said, it was hard for you just to be confined to like that one little room area or else you're just constantly surrounded by, you know, other stuff. So,
There were more people in the house too, than what I would choose to live with. So, but I mean, that's sort of like I'm saying, like, that's why if you want to do a homestay, you just got to sign up and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
But I think for me, the language, it definitely, let's see, I don't know if it necessarily clicked because I've had the click before. Like, I know what that feels like. And I don't think I necessarily got that in French, but I definitely got to a point that it was way easier for me. I mean, obviously, I feel like that kind of goes without saying, but I guess I'm just going to say it anyway. You know, from when I arrived to when I left was just a world of difference for my skill level. And after I left there, I went to in the Pyrenees, there's a little town that's basically built around a cathedral that's built into a cave. It's in Lourdes. Have you heard of that?
Well, we talked about it before.
Okay.
I think, when we were, you were making plans. So you're like, I'm like, well, I'm going, I'm going to Paris. They're like, I'm going to a little village in the Pyrenees. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool.
Well, and I know that some people out there will know what I'm talking about. It's like a pilgrimage. There's like I don't want to get it wrong, but it's like a Catholic cathedral place where people go to like get the holy water and stuff. And so the reason I went there is because, and this makes sense, it has super cheap flights to Rome because the Vatican, Catholic, whatever. And so I got a $10 train to this place, spent the night there, went and checked out the cathedral, and it is super cool. Mm-hmm. And then I left the next day on like a 20 euro flight to Rome. I remember adding it up. It cost me 38 either euros or dollar, I don't know, something to get to Rome from Anglette, from Southwest France. It cost me that much to get to Rome. That was awesome. Oh. But my point was that once I got to this town, I got to my hotel and I was able to ask, I had all these questions for whatever reason about the room or something. And I was able to, these people do not speak English in this little town in the Pyrenees. And so I was able to fully converse with this guy, like asking him everything I needed. That night when I was out, I found a restaurant that was listed like in the Michelin guide, and I got all excited and I went in and I asked them, if I had to make a reservation and what time they open and if it's okay if I come by myself because I was alone, and it was just really cool to be able to do all of that, converse and then go and have dinner, like this awesome French dinner, to know what was on the menu. I ordered duck. Like I knew what I was ordering, it felt so good to just be able.
Yeah.
What? What did you say?
Canard. Yeah. Canard is the word for duck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm back.
Yeah. It's so cool to just, after that, I'm like, man, this totally worked. I can speak French. I'm totally communicating. I can get by. Like, that's what I wanted to get out of it. And I totally got that. It was such a cool experience. And it's not that expensive. Can we talk about costs for a minute?
Sure. I'll let you take the lead on this one because I kind of forgot what it cost.
Do you not remember? I was going to say, I don't know if I really remember, but I'm going to say it's
bad.
Yeah, I think it was about $1,000 for my homestay for the month. I was there for 4 weeks. So it was, and they do it by the week and it's like a set price. And that included, what did it include? It included breakfast and dinner. Yeah. So not lunch, which is why you and I had lunch out together like all the time.
Yeah,
So it included breakfast and dinner. And for the month, it was about $1,000. And I think for the month in school, my classes were also about $1,000. So yours would have been about half that in both cases.
Yeah, a little bit less. Yeah, it was, I just remember getting the bill at the end. I think I paid like at the end. I was like, this isn't bad. And especially looking back at what I got, it was, it was great for what it was.
I mean, if you think about that, learning French has been on my bucket list, like I said, for decades. Yeah. And it cost me, a couple thousand dollars. That's not including, my flight to Europe or like personal expenses. But to have a homestay, which if you were to, rent an apartment, it might be cheaper. It might be similar depending on where you are, I guess. And classes. And I was able to have that entire experience for a month. Check that off my bucket list. And it was like a couple grand at the end of the day, just to have to do that. Like, what is the cost of a bucket list item? You know what I mean? Like, it's totally, totally doable. Most people spend way more than that on a trip. And that was a month. That's a whole month. Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
And I think you just get out so much. Like, I remember, like, for instance, in my homestay, a couple nights we did it. But I just remember one night for dinner, we made crepes. And we had wine and listened to music. And it was just sitting there making my own crepe and having French wine from some town that was maybe an hour train ride or a train ride away. And I just paused for a second, sat there. I'm like, I am in France drinking French wine, making my own crepe with a French family. When you have those experiences, it's like kind of cliche, but I think it's just, it's really priceless to have.
Absolutely. I can only agree with that. It like makes me shake my head and smile.
Yeah.
Cause it's so real. It really is so real. It's so attainable. You and mm-hmm. I both did it. We did it last March, like so randomly. Both of us were just like, well, that sounds good. I'll do that.
Exactly.
How easy was that? You know?
Exactly. Yeah, so no, cool. it was so easy. I mean, it's all just a mindset. And so I think the only thing, if it's something that you want to do, the only thing that's stopping you is yourself. So if you just kind of fix your mindset and just put your mind to it and just do it. I don't know. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but that's what
I don't think so, because there's a reason that everybody says that. There's a reason that everybody says, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, so many of my guests who come on this show, and I ask them to come on the show because they have a story to tell. You know, like you're here because you have an experience to share. And what happened with you? You decided to just do it. That's what everybody says to do. It's like, you're normal. I'm normal. Like, we're all just kind of living our lives, you know, until you decide to do something extraordinary and you just do it.
Exactly. And then you got an experience that you'll never forget.
I know. How do you think it affected your life?
I think it's just, well, first of all, if I'm ever feeling like stressed or overwhelmed or, you know, trying to make a decision, you know, whatever it may be, I think, you know, I can recall this situation and say like, you know what? Yeah. Oftentimes when there's something uncertain in the future, you don't know how it's going to play out. The best thing is to just take what's clear, like the one step in front of you, and let things play out. So it just gives you that confidence to just move forward and to know that everything's going to be okay. And then also just to be able to look back and just cherish the memories that you had and the things that you, because when you do something like that, that's for yourself. It's really just taking that time for yourself. And I think that kind of self-care aspect of it, it's really important. So I just, what I draw on the experience is just that time that I really did something for myself, and I'm able to use it moving forward to just navigate through, you know, any uncertain or whatever situation in the future. Just kind of say, you know what, you've been in that situation before, everything turned out great. So kind of use what's in front of you and just make a decision, and just don't overthink it. Just go for it.
Mm-hmm. And you can do big things, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can. That wasn't, you know, I, after that trip, like I said earlier, I, from that trip, turned it into a trip around Europe. I was, you know, just traveling around, making my way. That was fun. And took some more trips after that. And yeah, you just keep compounding on these experiences, and it's just great.
Mm-hmm. Momentum is a big thing.
Yeah, that's true. Just get started.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Do you have a next trip planned?
Man, unfortunately not at the moment. I just got back. Well, it's not that far. I was in St. Petersburg, Tampa, Florida area for a wedding. So that was kind of a trip. It was a good time. It was a good friend of mine's wedding. Looking to, you know, make another trip. I don't know where it's going to be, but
yeah,
I love traveling. So
yeah,
it'll be something great, whatever it is.
It's only a matter of time. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Do you want to go to Munich and learn German?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, where are we going? Let me move a couple things around on my schedule. I'll be,
that sounds awesome.
You just get like an email from me out of the blue, like, hey, I'm coming to Munich.
I'll be like, great. Let's do it again. Yeah. I
haven't mastered French yet, but let's just keep piling on the languages.
That's right. Hey, that's one way to do it. And I'm not going to knock it, because that's what I'm doing. So.
But you already have like Italian and Spanish, though.
Well, you can always keep building. I'm an eternal student of language. It's never gonna stop for me, so you know, might as well just pile them all on.
Yeah, by the way, French, I think, because I studied a little bit of Italian, and I find French like a lot more difficult than Italian.
Oh man.
So you talk about that clicking moment. There was a time when I was studying Italian that things just like clicked, and you know, it felt great. French takes a little bit more practice.
Yeah.
So anybody who's looking to learn French, just know that it's going to take some work.
But yeah.
Worth it.
Definitely. I'm just looking at this blog post that I wrote after this experience in France. And like, it starts out by saying, because it's called 1 month of study abroad in France. I can speak French now, which mm-hmm. is true. But it starts like this. It says, I'm not about to claim fluency nor perfection. Dude, this language is hard. Two words, French prepositions, and two more words, a million silent letters.
So many yeah. silent letters.
Oh man, it is hard. It's definitely hard. But you know what? We can get by, and you know, that's a huge step in the right direction, I think. And so yeah. I'm such a fan of these like little language schools. And I'll put the link to this school and to the blog post really up, so you guys can see like more photos and kind of read about how the experience went for me. I'll put that on the show notes page for you guys if you want to check that out. But yeah, it's definitely an experience that I would encourage anyone to do at any age. It does not matter. You don't have to be in college. It doesn't matter. Do you have any advice for people who are considering maybe doing it?
Yeah, I guess my advice would be if you're thinking about it, that's the first step. It's already in your mind, and just kind of evaluate your situation is, you know, why is it important to you? Why is it something you want? And if it's something that's really important to you and you're thinking, you know, sometimes you think, oh, you know, this is important or this sounds great, but now's not the right time. Maybe later is the right time when I'm whatever it is, XYZ. Really be conscious of that, because there may not be the perfect time in the future, like you say it will be. So the perfect time may just be right then and there. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying like, don't just jump into everything. Definitely think about it. But if your mind is there and you're really thinking about this could be something for you, I think just take some action steps and see if it can work.
Love it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for coming on the show and taking a walk down memory lane back to France there. That was really cool. And I think that was good for the listeners to kind of hear it from people who've done it, who have gone before them, and who can say, you know, it's a good experience. Go do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just go for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, next time you decide to learn a language, let me know.
Well, I'm already seeing you in Munich, so we'll, you know, just let me know the dates. We'll be
I'll see you. Awesome.
We'll have to do another podcast about Munich.
I know. Okay, you heard it here, guys. Accountability.
Don't hold me to it. Don't hold me. To
oh
it.
Man,
I may not be there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Matthew, and yeah, we'll catch up with you again soon. All right.
My pleasure. Nice speaking with you.
All right. That's it for today, guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I hope that you were encouraged to continue on your language learning journey, or inspired to possibly get out that Google search and look for language schools somewhere, because you never know where you might end up. Again, you can check the show notes page at travelingjackie.com/podcast. For links to more information about the particular program that I did in France with Matthew. And we have a very special guest lined up for the next episode. So don't go far, stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys then. Thanks for listening, and safe travels to all.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big.